Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tulsa, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive coming at you at 500. We're 1-1. The Ravens win over the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. We're going to be taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road on Tuesday. Going to be at Catonsville. Going to be back at the Beaumont, where I love the fried lobster tail, but I thought that was kind of bougie and put it in the 20s of my tastiness tour. Brought to you by Curio Wellness. And my wife thought the lamb chops should have been in the top five. So I'm going to eat the lamb chops on Tuesday. I'm going to brag about the lamb chops. Probably going to get down the street, get a bowl of that chicken tortilla soup and El Guapo as well. And I will be giving away the remnants of the, and these are still lucky tickets. Lucky seven. It says lucky right on it. Lucky sevens doubler. And the pressure lux with the whammy. So when you put the whammy on Joe Burrow here this week. Luke joins me now in the aftermath of, we've talked a lot about Flacco. We talked a lot about the 75 Colts and the 96 Ravens and Ozzie and Ray and John Ogden and trophies and all of that stuff. My wife kind of ran out when the game got out of hand. It was like 41 to 10. She's like, I got some errands I got to run. It's 4 o'clock on a Sunday. She went out. She came back, sat down like second quarter of the Chiefs game. She's going to watch it. So what happened? I'm like, wow, Russell Wilson threw this bomb and they still lost. And the kid from the Cowboys kicked a 64-yard field goal. And I'm like, whatever. I'm like, but you know, the only thing that really matters, Joe Burrow got hurt. I mean, from the Ravens' perspective, for me, it's like the Bengals season's over. If you're a Bengals fan, I mean, in the same way that if Lamar Jackson hurt his pinky winky toe, I mean, turf toe took Deion Sanders and John Ogden out here. So, that's serious business for a quarterback and pushing off. And you could even see kind of the push off and the plant and all that. League, as we always say, the league's crazy, as Baldy would say. League's crazy. League's always crazy at this point, but the Lions are coming in and they're scoring points. And the Ravens are so in the middle of all of this, as Brian Billick once said, it's all sitting there for you. And certainly it's sitting there a lot easier when the division look feels a little lighter today than it did yesterday.
Until there's final word on the Burrow thing, but it doesn't sound good, obviously. And it's a reminder of, for as much as we think of these teams as being powerhouses, and I mean, Kansas City's been a powerhouse, right? And they're 0-2 right now. Philadelphia, Super Bowl winner, and off to a 2-0 start, and puffing out their chest after a win at Arrowhead and Buffalo. I mean, of course, what they did against the Ravens last week. With Cincinnati, it's a reminder of all these teams are, it is so fragile in terms of you have that one guy that goes down with an injury, that quarterback, and it completely changes the complexion of your season. Now, whether Joe Burrow is going to be out for the year, whether he's going to be out 3 months, or whether that maybe they get better news than what the
Well, what are you
earliest
hoping? You're
fears
hoping
were.
they're 6-6 at Thanksgiving and Burrow can come back and get you to 10-7 and get you into coming to Baltimore to play in week one of the playoffs or whatever. I don't know, whatever you're thinking, right?
I mean that's about the best you can hope for, right? I mean, if the Ravens were in a position where they lose Lamar Jackson for 6 weeks or whatever, anything that's not season ending. You're hoping that Cooper Rush can play well enough and manage the game well enough, and you're going to run the ball well enough, and your defense is going to play well enough that, I don't know, can you go 3-3 over a 6-game stretch, right? Can you go 2-4 that's not going to completely cut off your head in terms of like
2-4 makes
your
you four and
ability to
four, right? I mean, literally for the, because they're 2-0, right?
right. So I mean that's but you kind of look at Cincinnati's schedule where they're at Minnesota, at Denver, home against Detroit, at Green Bay, home against
Ouch.
Pittsburgh. I mean, my goodness, that only takes you to mid-October. Then it does, it lessens up, lightens up a little bit.
Makes me
Home
feel
against.
better about the Ravens schedule in September.
Sure. So, I mean, it's tough, but at the same time, I mean, it speaks to how fragile it can be. And look, I had my significant doubts about the Bengals defense, right? I mean, I just saw that last year. I mean, their offense was sensational and they didn't even make the playoffs because their defense stunk. So, whether it was going to be them, whether it was going to be Pittsburgh in terms of who's the biggest threat to the Ravens as it pertains to the division, certainly it puts them in a different position now. And, but it's just a reminder of how incredibly important it is to keep your quarterback healthy. I mean, you can overcome a lot. You can overcome, a shoddy defense or, questionable skill players, whatever it might be, but you lose your quarterback, it's over. I mean, it just is. And for Cincinnati, they're kind of staring that in the face right now. And Browning's one of the better backups in the league, I think. I think he's way more competitive than a lot of backup quarterbacks out there, but it's not Joe Burrow. So it certainly changes the complexion there. And everything you just pointed out, it's like, wow. Now, if only you hadn't squandered a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter in week one. I mean, the
2-0, baby.
Ravens be sitting pretty. I mean, you'd be talking about being 2-0, a tiebreaker over Buffalo. Kansas City's 0-2. The Bengals are reeling. Pittsburgh just dropped a game at home to a team that, you thought they would beat, even though, hats off to Seattle. But you kind of look at all that and you say, man, it could have been that much better. But at 1-1, you'll still take it. They're in good position. They've got a heck of a challenge on their hands with Detroit coming to town, having just scored 50 plus. I mean, they certainly bounced back from their PU performance in week one against Green Bay when they hang that many points, albeit against the Bears, but 52 points is 52 points. And, we're going to see if the Lions can come in and keep in mind, a couple years ago when they came to town, that was a much hyped football game. And the Ravens beat the tar out of them. So there is the NFC thing that I know Philadelphia poked a hole in last December when they came into Baltimore and beat the Ravens on their way to winning a Super Bowl ultimately. But Detroit, they had their issues with the Ravens 2 years ago, and that was without Derrick Henry. That was without DeAndre Hopkins being in the mix. So I do think, as much as, yeah, you're going to look at that Lions offense and say, okay, this Ravens defense, you hope that the steps that they took against the Browns, yeah, I get it. It was the Browns, but it was still a nice step forward, a rebound from where they were in week one. But, what's Marlon Humphrey's health status going to be this week? What's Kyle Van Noy's status going to be this week? Those are two big questions. What's Jaire Alexander's status going to be this week? Are they going to see what they want to see in practice to get him back on the field? I mean, if Marlon Humphrey doesn't play, Jaire Alexander, I think, he's going to be out there in some shape or form, in some capacity. You're going to have to see how that plays out. But the Ravens are the home team here, and I even saw it. I believe it was Brian Branch, the Lions nickel, their standout slot corner defensive back. And I think he got a game ball. And I happened to just see the clip on social media. It might have been Football Night in America. I can't remember what it was, but he was handed a game ball, and you know what the first thing he said was, "Guys, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We have Baltimore next week." So they know what kind of challenge is
Well,
in.
especially the guys that were there where they got their ass beat the way they did,
Exactly,
too.
exactly. So hey, but Monday Night Football, Week Three, you look at that kind of matchup. I mean, especially on the heels, that Sunday night game. I didn't watch too much of it closely because I was in the midst of writing, my post game piece for BaltimorePositive.com. But every time I looked up, I'm just like, man, what is this game? Like, what is this? So I think the league is, ESPN certainly hoping that Ravens Lions can approach what Ravens Bills was for NBC in week one. So, but hey, this is a great opportunity. Let's see if the defense truly did learn some lessons from week one because, yeah, the Browns aren't the Bills, but the Lions. They pose a challenge. I mean, when you talk about that running back duo, when you talk about what St. Brown is as a wide receiver, they've got a good tight end. I mean, Jared Goff had a big game. I get it. Jared Goff at home has historically not been what Jared Goff is on the road, but the Ravens have to be ready. There's no doubt about that. The Lions should have their full attention after they scored 52. But as I said, the Lions are the team going on the road and having to deal with Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry and company. And that is no easy challenge. So definitely looking forward to this matchup and pretty crazy when you talk about two teams squaring off that scored what? Oh, a combined 93 points on Sunday. That says it all. And that speaks to what ESPN's hoping this game will ultimately be.
Well, yeah, and sort of the cap off of a weekend of us sitting around all day Sunday watching football, all night Thursday watching football. Commanders got that out early last week with the Lambeau thing, and so we're into the grind of doesn't happen once a week. It doesn't happen 3 times a week anymore. It happens twice on Monday. Sometimes it happens at 9:30 in the morning once they start going over to Europe here in a couple of weeks and doing all this. I can't help but the Ravens only play 3 hours a week, and now that Chad Steele doesn't let me in anymore, the only football I get is here. I don't sit and watch the NFL Network all week because I don't. So I sort of crave it a little bit. And the pregame shows are just terrible. Like, I know this week they're doing like a throwback thing on CBS. They're going back to Jimmy the Greek and the Intangibles. Let me tell
Are
you,
they
the
doing that?
Intangibles,
That's
man.
actually pretty cool. I didn't know they were doing that.
They're doing a throwback thing on
Okay.
CBS. The way the Ravens did throwback weekend with the 96 logos.
I
And
did like the end zone logos. I thought that was cool. I mean
what about the website takeover? I didn't go to ravens.com over the weekend.
it wasn't the website, their app.
The app.
Their
Okay.
app, it made it look like Windows 95. Like it was really cool. I thought that was neat, but I had to there's a little bit of nostalgia. And I have to find this because my first Ravens hat that it was my best friend's father actually bought it for me. Something had happened. There was some kind of fundraiser thing that we had done for a basketball or something like
But this is the
that. And
first hat that said Ravens on it.
yeah, and he had pledged money to me and he had forgot to pay me. I had forgotten all about it. He's like, Luke, I owe you like $30. I'm like, what? He ended up getting me a Ravens hat at my first game, which was Ravens Packers, that preseason game that when there was a monsoon in the first half.
Man, I took a
But it
beer buzz
was,
from Clada Pub that night, but go ahead.
I have to find that hat. It was a white hat with a black brim, and it had that logo. It was like
The
black
flying
with,
bee
no, no,
or
no,
the Batman logo.
the end zone logo,
End zone
the
logo.
with like,
Okay.
looked like the Batman logo. And it was, it was black and yellow with a just a little bit of purple,
Dude,
I think.
David Modell loved that
Yeah,
logo. I'm telling you, David Modell loved that Batman
I
logo.
came across that. I knew I had it, but I hadn't seen that hat in years. I came across it like 6 months ago. I have to try to find it, and I'll show it to you on
You
Zoom,
know what?
on our
We
video.
can do a show and tell of throwback stuff because I'm collecting these crazy 1971 NFL belt buckles, and the whole reason is the Baltimore Colts belt buckle that I had as a boy that led me into this road of 50 years of Lytle Mitchell and Burt Jones all these years later. But I sat and watched football all day Sunday, right? Like, so I just want to come clean on this because like last week it was the same thing, and first weekend. The kickoff Thursday and Friday, especially the Brazil game, I kind of fell asleep. It was a Friday night. It's on my computer. I can't watch it on a television. I mean, that's a weird thing of Thursday night football too. We do with the Redskins. Watch it on my computer. I don't really watch it on my TV. So, and you can't stop it, start it the way you want. It toggle just all of the Amazonification of all of it. Week one, I was a little offended by all of it. Week two, I'm hugging Lytle Mitchell, and Joe Erman's looking at me like he's my grandfather and wants to give me a hug and a kiss. And I'm with Renata Linhart, and we're raking down about Tony, and I'm just telling old stories that Ted Marchabrota's his granddaughter. And but I love the league, and I'm so I've immersed my life in the league, whether it was being an Eagles season ticket holder when Buddy Ryan was there or doing a television show with Buddy Ryan a decade later. So when it comes on and I'm engaged in the history and the uniforms, and when the Packers are wearing those goofy white things where I'm like, what are you doing? And the throwback this and the throw up that and all, we'll get into all of that as color rush season begins here in the NFL. Sometimes I have a hard time cutting through too much Rich Eisen, too much Deion Sanders at one point on the NFL. Now, just too much of all of it that, much like my buddy who loved the Redskins all of his life, he would say, you know what, dude? I walk my dog and I come in at 12:58 and I put the game on because that's all I can take. I don't want to read what Cassie thinks on the 1998 app. I don't need to hear what anybody thinks about it other than what I think because I've been watching it all this time. And I give the whole day Sunday. I give the whole night Monday. My wife looks forward to Thursday, and I keep telling her how bad the football is going to be. And then it's on the computer, and I'm like, and I fall asleep. And you hate Thursday night football, but the drama of it, the sucking in part of it, the part that like I'm watching the Giants and the Cowboys, and I'm like, these teams suck. It's kind of reminds me of my wife and I watching the Pirates and the Orioles in the 11th inning last week, and I'm like, these teams suck. But like, it's 4:25 and the Chiefs game's getting going, and it's just getting going, and I don't care. And I stay with it enough to learn enough about the teams in 15 minutes of overtime football to feel like I got something more useful than the first quarter of any Thursday night football game, quite frankly, from giving it an hour of my time. And the Eagles are the best team, right? I mean, I'm watching this the whole time. So far, the Ravens are going to measure themselves so far against the Eagles. Like, I saw that Vikings game on the schedule. I thought of some, and then I watched the Vikings meltdown on Sunday night. So I start to get impressions, these snapshots of quarterbacks, these snapshots of teams as to whether Russell Wilson can still do it, or Joe Flacco can't do it, or whether Aaron Rodgers can do it. And, where's Patrick Mahomes in all of this, and where's his team? And like, they're 0-2. So I start to get all these snapshots. And I've watched so much football in my life, and I've dedicated my life to this professionally over the last 30 years. And now that I'm stuck watching it on TV, I take it for what it is. And I just try to like throw the darts and say, boy, who can really win? Because that's all that really matters. All the rest of this is eyewash because I don't gamble on it. You know what I mean? As I pointed out in the gambling segment, because it is Gambling Awareness Month here, I did an unbelievable piece with a guy named Will Hinman. Find it at Baltimore Positive. It's phenomenal because I learned a lot. It really made me think. It was a great psychology piece for an hour about gambling, and I'm not into it. And that feels like I'm lost with 30-year-old kids with beards at ballparks with tattoos who are all gambling on their face. They're all into their face and into their DraftKings and into their like, and I'm like, I love the Ravens. I love Baltimore. I like teams. I like football. I like X's and O's, Jimmy's and Joe's, like you and me. So I love talking about it like that. But then there really does come down to who are the good teams. And when we start to eliminate the Cincinnati's and you don't like the Chargers so much, and the Vikings look green, and the Packers look kind of loaded a little bit, But the Ravens are a loaded team,
Oh,
dude.
yeah.
Like they, like this is a year we can win. So all I care about is who else can win. I when I sit and watch the Arizona Cardinals and the Panthers play, I'm not down with that. What I the Rams and the Titans got done, and I'm like, I didn't think I saw a highlight. I don't know what uniforms they wore. Like literally, that's how dis it. Now the Rams, I'll be into them in a couple of weeks, but on a Sunday, I have the bandwidth for Red Zone and for catching up. And I love Sunday Night Football because I like Coach Dungy. I think it's one of the better shows, quite frankly. Like of all of it, things I can and can't watch. And as I went down to make coffee Sunday night, Luke, and to stay up a little later with the game, I came up the steps and I'm like, my God, I miss Chris Berman and Tom Jackson. I just miss really good. Where can I go and get something that's good? And I friggin' hate Rich Eisen. I mean, I hate what ESPN's become. And I hate hearing Rex Ryan say, and I like Rex. And I mean, there's a part of me loves Rex and whatever, but like, I can't do it. I sit here all day and I just wait for something good. I just want, tell me what's good, Luke.
It's
That's all.
funny you mention this because you had just sparked something in my mind. So I'm going to give you a couple things that unfortunately isn't going to apply to you most likely, but two things that have really changed for me. And I'm obviously talking about Sundays when I'm at home, right? I'm at the stadium. I mean, you just mentioned the Rams and the Titans. I didn't even honestly, I'd forgotten they even played each other on Sunday. Like I'm just not plugged into the rest of the league in that way. But a couple things that I've really come to like. One, with my current streaming, basically, I have a cable package, but I have YouTube TV right now. I'm not trying to give them an advertisement too much here, but I do. And one thing they have is MultiView, where you literally can get four different channels on the screen at the same time. I love that for pregame. As I'm, and last Sunday, I was cleaning up my kitchen. I grilled some brats, before the 1 o'clock game because the Ravens weren't playing until 8:30.
I had some deep Pasquale sausage,
So
so I
you,
want to give a shout out to Darren the Sausage
yeah, there
King.
you go.
I love you. Your sausage is so friggin'
There you
phenomenal.
go.
I ate two of them. I ate one at halftime, and I ate one. I stopped the Cowboys Giants game, and I made another one, Darren. So it was a two sausage Sunday.
So I had ESPN, NFL Network, CBS, Fox. So this was started at noon, right? I mean, CBS, their pregame show starts at noon. I had those four on, and obviously you have the audio for one of them, but I can keep an eye on it. And when I see the Ravens Bills logos on the screen, I flip to that one. Or if there happens to be something, a player in the league that I like, a player in the league that I want to hear about, whatever it might be. And then I just turn to that. So it's an easy way to monitor all four without like getting stuck on one where you say, oh, this is so bad. And then you're like, so there's that. And then the other thing, you mentioned Chris Berman. This, unfortunately, I don't know. I feel this is such a waste from ESPN. However, NFL primetime is still a thing. Chris Berman now does it with Booger McFarland, Tom Jackson. Retired a number of years ago. But Booger, he's not Tom Jackson, but he plays the part well enough to kind of play off of Berman because, Berman does his the nicknames and all that. But it's an hour-long NFL primetime that you get 5 minutes, 4 to 5 minutes of highlights of every game, or 3 to 4 minutes of highlights of every game. That is available on ESPN Plus, their streaming service. But
You can't see me on the radio, but I'm holding my middle finger
yeah.
up. Believe me.
But it's really good. I mean, I just said I had a trial subscription to ESPN Plus that I got with something I bought. I can't even remember what it was. Something electronic related. I can't even
Yeah.
remember what it was. But it's great. It's so much better than anything that ESPN shows in the evening to cap, the games that day. I don't know. I guess the idea is I'm giving them a commercial right now of why you subscribe to or ESPN Plus for $12 a month or whatever it is, but it's great. I mean, it's not Berman and Tom Jackson, but Berman's still really good at it. Like for considering he, at least, and I'm not saying this to be disrespectful to him. ESPN has told you they think he's past his prime because of how little he's utilized, but he's still really good in that role, and it's still fun to watch. And it's a way to get highlights. And when you and I are finished this conversation, we do our segments recapping the weekend and the Ravens and all that. One of the fr I'm going to rewatch the Ravens game, and I'm going to watch NFL Primetime on ESPN Plus. So, but it, th
And then he's
there's
going to send me his password.
but it's fun. But to your point, I mean it is wild to kind of think. I mean, the NFL's been huge for a long time now. They've been number one by a lot for a long, long time now. Way more than baseball, the NBA, certainly the NHL or any other niche
It's
sport you want to
almost
talk
like
about.
America itself. The rich get richer, the ultra rich get
I
ultra
mean,
richer. And it's the rocket ship they're on, the way college sports is trying to wreck itself, the way baseball's about to go on strike, the way hockey never really
about inter.
came, the way the NBA's gone more global and does not. The NBA makes plenty of money, but I mean, the NBA has their players don't even want to play half the time. You know what I
Everything,
mean? So.
but it's beyond sports. It transcends television. When you think about what TV used to mean, when you think about the ratings that the final episode of Friends did, the final episode of MASH did, right? Who shot JR on Dallas, right? You think about these were monumental television events of just shows, right? Because everyone had shared experience. And a lot of that for going way back was it was a time when there were only four channels, right? I mean, so you had so much of that. But in today's day and age where television is so splintered, it's so like, okay, you might have two shows you like on Apple TV, but your five other friends don't even subscribe to Apple TV.
Well, the Venn diagram of America
Yeah.
where NFL sits
Like,
in,
that's the only thing. Like,
it's
there's
huge.
literally nothing else. I don't want to say literally nothing else. There are very, very, very few other
I had a
things,
flat earther come up to me on Friday. So, you know what I mean? I don't
it's
know,
just,
what people believe or what they know, but Sunday at 1 o'clock, they know that.
That's the one shared experience that we all seem to have, or most of us seem to have at this point in time. Whereas, like, you don't have shows that transcend like that anymore. I mean, so it's wild in that way. And as as I've said to you, when we talk about fandom in general terms, you have your various degrees of fandom. You have someone who follows the soap opera every day. They're watching NFL Live every day. They're reading about their favorite team every day. They're on
They're
social media
gambling. Be
every day.
careful.
They're gambling. They are, I mean, more than gambling, but much more prevalent than just gambling itself. Fantasy football. I mean, everyone and their mom plays fantasy football. I mean, so you have all of that. But to your point, you can also just kind of drop in for 3 hours on Sunday or for 6 hours on Sunday. And you know
I
what?
mean, I fed the machine for 30 years
Yeah,
with
it.
drama and Blackboard and who said this and this guy said that Derrick Henry is no big deal. Like,
Yeah.
I just can't sit here and do phone calls on that 20 hours a week anymore
That's
around
fine.
3 hours of drama. But that being said, when the games come
That's
on,
great.
my level of interest, expertise, history, passion, the fact that Jim Schwartz and Joe Flacco were here, I said to my wife at 9 o'clock Sunday morning, I probably should have gone to the game today. She's like, you could still go if you want. Ticket prices will come down. Ticket prices didn't come down for the game, incidentally. But also I'm like, you know what? My time's done. You know, I only go in rooms where I'm welcome. I'm good here watching it on TV. You have one presentation of it. I have a different presentation of it at this point. I certainly had a different presentation just going back through where Ted Marchabrota's granddaughter came up to me Saturday and shook me. And the next thing I know, the next day, John Ogden and Ray Lewis and Ozzie are there. And I'm like, oh, Ted. Yeah.
There.
Ted and Vinny. And you know, just and Eric Turner, right? And the players that were a part of that. I told Ted's granddaughter, I said, it feels like 30 minutes ago to me. And I have the belt buckle, that Colts belt buckle that's 55 years old now. And it's been in my life 52 years. And it's Baltimore Colts belt buckle. I got to wear it and show it to Lydell Mitchell,
Yeah.
on Saturday. And we've all lived long enough and we've lost people. And, you know, Joe Erman made some reference and he and I were texting back and forth as well to cognitive loss, physical loss. I mean, Joe being biblical as he is and a man of the cloth and a minister who's moved back to Buffalo. He was there with his beautiful daughter as well. And I said, that it doesn't go without saying that the game's tough. And I told my wife when we were doing our makeup on Saturday morning before we went over to Union Brewing, I'm like, it's a room full of 80-year-old men. You know, I'm going to have proper respect for what I'm going to find when I get there as to what Bert's going to look like and how he's going to feel and how he's going to move and George Kuntz and just all Marshall Johnson, just all of these guys that were larger than life to me 50 years later. I still, despite Chad Steele, despite Justin Tucker and everything else that's gone on and books I've written and parties I've thrown and bus rides I've had and up all night sideways doing radio at 4 o'clock in the morning, waiting for the Providence Airport to open up after the Ravens got their ass kicked sideways in the middle of the night in Foxborough. Like all of the sitting in an empty stadium in Houston, my love of Houston, 50 feet from the Astrodome, sitting in an empty stadium with a mask on, 50 feet from John McClain watching with 38 other people watching football. I mean, I've had a lot of experiences, but once we get into the season, and the Ravens play on time, 1 o'clock on a Sunday. Last week, Sunday night football. We're all making barbecue brats. I mean, even you had half the day off last Sunday. You know, we worked all night. But the 1 o'clock Sunday thing and that routine of putting the game on, and even talking to Lydell last week about the 2 o'clock weird starts, Memorial Stadium, and all of it being in the dark and freezing, and my mom making me a thermos of hot chocolate to take with me so I stayed warm at the games. My dad took other things to stay warm at the games. Hadn't thought of
There you
that in a
go.
while.
There you go.
Take a flask of this. Take a shot of this. Man, you know, football, right? I mean, there's only one thing like it. There's nothing else like it. I love hockey. Yeah, I mean, I've hoisted the cup, all of that. Baseball. You and I love baseball. Whatever we love rock and roll. I'm be chasing rock and roll all week. Love rock and roll, and it gives me a vibe that sports doesn't give me anymore for a lot of reasons in a lot of ways. But yeah, football comes on, the NFL comes on. I still feel like, you know what I feel like? And I get cocky about this with you and me. We're better at this than anybody. I listened to the radio station last week and I listened and say, would I listen to me? Would I listen to you? Would I listen to us based on credibility, X's and O's, what we know about the game? Yeah. Now, if you want me to grade what Lamar wore onto the airplane, right? Or what Cassie thinks or what some like I don't care. I care that I am presenting this with authenticity, with the fact that I still love the game, I know the game, I feel the game, understand the game, I understand the people playing the game. I text with Jim Schwartz and Joe Flacco. Jimmy and I were texting half the night Saturday because the Colts showed up. And you know the reason Jim Schwartz was on the field Sunday? Because he loved the Colts too. He loved the 75 Colts. It was the basis of our relationship. And the fact, you know who he worked for? Ted Marchabrota. So, like, you think he wanted to hear about Ted's granddaughter? Of course he did. Night before, he's preparing with Joe Flacco to come to his hometown and have his defense, best defensive player he's ever coached, Myles Garrett. So, like, the pieces, and Jim Schwartz sat in that office and taught me football 30 years ago. Sat there every Friday with a box lunch and shouted at me and laughed at me and Marvin talking about football and about Stevon Moore and Eric Turner. Ted's granddaughter was phenomenal. You know what she said to me, Luke? She said, I used to listen to you leaving the games, driving back to Virginia after every game in 96 and 97. I'm like, oh my God, we lost a lot of games.
Gonna say that's a lot of
She's
losses.
like, and like she talked football with me. I'm like, we scored a lot of points. She's like, unfortunately, we gave up a lot too. So
Had Ray Lewis, not much else.
when your grandfather's the head coach of the team and you're 12 years old in 1996, it's just like, man, I had a great weekend thinking about my life in football, the 27 Super Bowls I've gone to, these men I've touched who touched other men, and running on the same fields with O.J. Simpson or running on the same fields with Johnny Unitas or just wherever all of Joe Namath. Did I tell you I went to the Bowery Antique last week when they were closing down? I think I talked to you about this last week and I found a whole bunch of old stuff. I spent $1. The only thing I bought, my wife thought this was kind of funny. I bought a Joe Namath Sports Illustrated cover from 1970 with the llama skin rug. So the things that, it goes with you all of your life. And I think the bottom line for me is I think the Eagles are the best team right now. And I think the Ravens are trying to prove that. I think the Lions coming in and beating the Chiefs won't feel like as big a deal. Losing to them will, though, 2 weeks from now. So for the Ravens and where we are in this thing here, how it all comes together, I love football season and I can't wait for Sunday or Monday in this case.
They're right in the thick of it, and I think from a talent level standpoint, they're right up there, if not the most talented, regardless of what happened in week one. But hey, you've got to give the Bills the same credit. I think the Packers have looked through 2 weeks based on just their two performances. I've been really impressed with them. But who knows, right? I mean, the Lions bounced back big time after a really bad week one, and Rams are 2-0. Seahawks, nice win over the Steelers, right? But the Steelers, week one, they showed you something with their offense. I mean, it's a week-to-week league, right? And even now, Kansas City, 0-2, people are going to write them off. And look, I look at them and say, man, do they have enough playmakers for Mahomes at this point? I mean, Kelsey, I mean, dropped a pass at the goal line. That would have been a touchdown, and that ends up going the other way then. But they're 0-2.
Speaking of Joe Namath, when you put yourself with her, you're Joe Namath. You know what I mean? You're to your point,
Oh,
way
sure.
larger than football. When he
Oh,
drops the ball,
and he's
Taylor
also in
Swift's
it.
watching. Everybody's watching,
She
right?
is, but he's also in his mid-30s, and it might just be that he's done, So you look at that, but at the same time, they're 0-2. The Ravens were 0-2 at this time a year ago, and there was nothing about the way that season went the rest of the year, other than the fact that they were playing in Buffalo in the divisional round to say that they couldn't win in
Well,
the
the
right
Ravens
group.
better make
They
sure they're
didn't.
1-3 when you leave there 2 weeks from now.
That's right,
And you're at
exactly. And
least 3-1.
sure. So, but it's 2 weeks in. The only thing that you have to watch out for, other than week one overreaction, is week two overreaction, right? So I think the Ravens are right up there with everyone else. The Eagles, I agree with you. The Eagles, hey, they're the defending champs. Until someone beats them, You know, they deserve that credit, especially going to Arrowhead and beating a Chiefs team that, I don't want to say desperate, but certainly was feeling urgency being 0-1, and now they're 0-2. But, you know, we're going to see how this plays out. And like we said, I mean, as we're writing off Joe Burrow, and as you and I are speaking, you know, the reports have now indicated he is going to have surgery and he's going to be out a minimum of 3 months. You would assume the Bengals are done. Like, doesn't mean I think they're necessarily going to go 2-15,
You know,
but they're
this
not
brings me,
relevant.
this is where my next point, and we could conclude on this, but can your team win the Super Bowl? You know,
Yes
I
or
mean,
no?
not gambling on it in Vegas or 20-1 or 3-1 or whatever, but like, are you waking up today if you're a 49ers fan and thinking you can win the Super Bowl? If you're a Steelers fan, even though they're, you know, like they have Aaron Rodgers, right? And not to mention the places where you just know you're not good enough. I mean, the Cowboys aren't good enough. The Giants aren't good enough. Commanders might be, I don't know. You know, there's a couple that are hopeful because they have a quarterback that might ascend. Maybe the Houston Texans will ascend. I don't know that there's a couple of those out there. But how many years have we, over the 30 years here, week two, said we have a chance and we're in it, or we have a top five kind of team? You know, this is a year where beating Cleveland 41-17 Monday morning, we're not going to be talking about Joe Flacco or Myles Garrett or this or that. We're going to be talking about why we didn't beat him 48-10. Yeah, we're going to be talking about, you know, if Marlon Humphrey just would have caught that ball, that'd be one less thing that would, you know, the things that go wrong. And you can't get style points, but we are sort of grading on some curves here to say, is it good enough or is it not good enough? And certainly the Ravens 2 weeks into this have righted whatever the John Harbaugh memes of blowing games and all of that. And now it's more about, all right, keeping people healthy and learning the lesson that they can't win without your quarterback. And the Bengals are just like out of the conversation for me right now. It's like they don't exist. They might as well be the Browns to me.
I mean, look, they'll win a few games with Jake Browning, but
And they might steal one of two from the Ravens. They might. I mean, but they're
I
not
mean,
going to win enough to win.
right. I mean, we know the Ravens, they've already done it once this year, so I'm not talking out of turn. The Ravens will rave in a couple games. I mean, it's just who they are, right? But yeah, you kind of go through the league, and maybe the better question, not who can win the Super Bowl, how about who can get to the Super Bowl? You know? Is there eight teams out there that you would talk about in those terms? 10 teams, maybe, right? I mean,
Maybe.
maybe. You know, I mean, I look at
It's
like,
real early on in
oh,
Denver, New
sure, of
England, a
course. Who
bunch of these
knows, right?
places where
Well,
they don't
New
even
England.
know what they have. I mean,
Yeah,
I
I
think
mean,
we
like,
saw the Vikings, you know, and the Bears and
but I
these,
think you, but I,
they're not serious.
but you go through the you go through the teams that have a quarterback, like Tampa Bay. I don't think they can win the Super Bowl, but could they get out of the NFC? I mean, Baker Mayfield's been really good the last couple of years. Who knows? You know, they're not my favorite, but maybe. You
Jaden
know,
Daniels almost did it last year.
I think the, you know, the Chargers, what does Monday Night Football look like for them? But man, Herbert, he was fantastic against the Chiefs. I don't know if you and I even spend any time talking about that. He was excellent in that game. That was the Justin Herbert that's been hyped over the last few years that generally hasn't shown up in those
Well, the big
moments.
story there is they lost their left tackle,
So
right?
yeah, oh sure, the preseason. I mean, you see that. But we've talked about the Packers, we've talked about the Commanders, Ravens, yes, of course. Bengals, not anymore. Giants, no, of course not. Cowboys, no. I mean, I'm not even trying to pick on Dak Prescott, but you can't trade Micah Parsons a week before the season and me take you seriously as a contender. So no, even if they won in overtime, their kicker's great. We saw that with Brent. That guy is going to have a chance to break Justin Tucker's record for longest field goal because he's kicking half his games inside
Well,
there.
the league hopes he never does that because I have to say Justin and Tucker in the same sentence because
Or
I've
will they
watched two
be?
full broadcasts for 2 weeks and the words Justin and Tucker have never been mentioned
Or
ever.
do they? Or do they want that to happen because then you can erase them permanently from the conversation? But Ravens, yes. Lions,
Baseball's waiting to erase Barry
yeah.
Bonds.
Lions can get there. 49ers at this point, gosh, they're just so injured all the time. I mean, so I'm going to say I'm trending towards no there. Bills, yes, of course. You know, Rams, how's Matt Stafford's back? That's my big question. You know, how's that going to look for 17 games? But, you know, Eagles, I'm not counting out the Chiefs. The Vikings at this point, That's looked really, really bad offensively for a game and a half now. It wasn't until the second half, but O'Connell's the quarterback whisperer. So does he have JJ McCarthy halfway through the year looking like a franchise quarterback? Maybe he will. Falcons? Yeah, I kind of like Penix. I'm not ready to put him in that category yet, so what I just said yes or
He's a
maybe
might
to.
be as opposed to a probably not.
I mean, but it's still so early, right? So I just went through all the teams in the league that were worth mentioning at least. And
And then
what? Did
there's
I name?
Miami, the Jets, the Brad, like the
Yeah.
nothings. Yeah. Raiders.
How about the fact I how about the fact the Colts are 2-0 for the first time? Did I hear right since 2009? That is wild to me. I'm pretty sure unless I heard that on Sirius NFL.
One of the weird things is when they had Manning and he was kind of like on the way out, they always had like crazy tough game. You know what I mean? Like in their own division, nothing much, but they would always open a season against some, like
That's
they would
true.
always have a Pittsburgh or Ravens,
16
so
years
to
to
go
go
one
2
and
and 0.
one's not like, it's kind of like the Ravens being 1-1. When were the Ravens 2-0? Like, it's hard when.
I understand, but that's 16 years. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying like I expect you to be 2-0 every year, but considering the history there, because you're talking about the last couple years of the Manning era,
And
and
then
you're
luck.
talking about luck for, and I get it, luck, that was a fleeting time and he retired so early, but 16 years it's been since they were 2-0, and I just looked it up. I heard right. I wasn't imagining that. 2-0 for the first time since 2009. I mean, that's something you'd expect to hear out of the Browns, right? Not the Colts, who, don't get me wrong, the Colts have not been very good since
Look, the
Luck
Bills stunk for
retired, but
17 years and they smell good now and it
yeah.
feels that way. But it really does speak to, back to the beginning where
It's a league. It's
Ozzie
crazy.
Ogden and Ray come out with the trophies, and we've had a lot. Even when they're 1-1, they can still win the Super Bowl, which is like, And I tell you what, Cincinnati's 2-0, and they can't. How about
It feels
that?
like their season's over.
Right. Okay. So enough said. I'll drop the mic on that. Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore. Luke, you can find me at the Beaumont on Tuesday. I'll be out with Maryland Lottery scratch off tickets, and I'll have some Raven scratch off tickets too for the rest of the fall all year long as we get ready for the extra day and a half, getting ready for the Lions. A nice Sunday. Luke, if you need some sausage, I got Darren the Sausage King gave me some Di Pasquale sausages. I'm happy to send you 4 or 8 links up. I even get you some potato rolls if you want, because they'll be delicious. Get my wife to make you some delicious peppers and onions, saute that up, and we'll get that all ready for everybody on Sunday. So you have a it's not a bye week, but it's like I hang out and watch football all day Sunday this week if you choose to do that. Luke and I are going to be doing some Oriole residue and some Bradish residue and some getting swept residue in Toronto over the weekend and getting ready for whatever postseason baseball there's going to be for our eyes around here. All eyes on the Detroit Lions this week as we have some crab cakes. I wrap up my tastiness brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness. We're getting down to 4, 3, 2, 1. The worst part about number one is you might not be able to get number one until next year. It's a long story. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.